Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters from around the world. Just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us this morning. Thank God for another blessed day. I'm telling you, we don't really know how good we have it until we don't have it. That's something that I'll say it again. We do not know how good we have it until we don't have it. When you have it and everything's running smooth, you don't think about it because it is. You're just being. There's no interruption in your thoughts, no ripple in your effects for the day. You know, just everything is good. You're laughing, your friends, you having a good meal, your energy is high, and everything is good. You're not even, sometimes you just forget to even say thank you to God because you got a party for the day. You got some friends coming over, and you're thinking about all the food you got to cook and one thing to the other and all of that. In a blink of an eye, something happens, and then you don't realize how good you had it. Even say thank you. Didn't even say thank you. So good morning. Let's see if we can get Deborah on. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
How are you?
I'm well. And yourself?
I'm good.
Great, great. Thank God for this another day.
I know, I know. It is a time now. We'll get into it, Deborah, after you finish. Let's have the prayer this morning, if you don't mind, please.
Okay, thank you. Lord, we come before you to say thank you. Thank you for waking us up. We praise your holy name for knowing all things. You know what today is going to bring. You know what you need us to say. You know what you need us to do. We thank you for allowing us to be part of your plan today. We thank you for all that you do. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, you know, life is really so good. That's why the enemy works so hard, Deborah, to make us think it's not. You see what I'm saying? I was talking to a young lady this week, and you know, I was explaining to her what God had placed on my heart, and a part of the trials of my faith was to learn a lesson. And God was showing me the lesson is this, and the lesson is that you are a faith and trust preacher. That's who you are. Remember, I know it's been 8 or 9 months ago or longer that I told you all that God said, you are a preacher, because I never could define myself and just say, you know, definitely this is what I am, because I do have the credentials as a chaplain, but I really never say I'm a chaplain. Most people don't know I'm a chaplain because I really don't really talk about it. And it's not that I'm hiding, it's just like it just never really come up or anything. So then, you know, when I got past that, I said, okay, well, okay. And I announced it, you know, God says that I'm a preacher. And, you know, God know what my training and my history was as far as women and preachers and stuff like that. But, you know, that never really barred me from thinking that, you know, God used women to do whatever he want to do, because otherwise I would be out of the game. You know what I'm saying? And so
Yes. Here
I was telling her, and I said, she said, well, if that's the case, then we should never be sick. If you know, because I was telling her what God was saying. He said, you are healed, Bessie, whether you believe it or not. And what he was saying to me was, I said you're healed. My word will never go void. Now, the experiences that you experience depends upon the decision that you make. Do you believe me when I say that you're healed? Or do you have some doubts that, you know, because you feel a pain, that you're not healed? But if I say you heal, I cannot give you a pain. You got me?
Mm-hmm.
I can't give you a pain because I already said you heal, and heal don't come with pain. So if you felt a pain, it wasn't from me. And then you make up your mind to decide which you're going to believe, the pain or my word. And that's the challenge. And so she said to me, well, if that's the case, then that means no one should ever get sick. I said, and that is true. No one should ever get sick if you believe in the word of God. If you believe what he said, you should never get sick. But because you have a symptom, you're trying to lean against that pain instead of leaning on the word of God. No, this is not real. This cannot be real. And that's that trial of your faith to see if you're going to actually come to the word of God and stand and hold on to that. And that's that faith. And then once you say, I believe you, God, I believe that I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. I believe that. And I believe your word. Now, you got to trust him that his word works. And then he said, once they believe and they trust that my word will do what it says it's going to do, I will minister to them. That's the mother and daughter faith trust ministry. Blew me away, Deborah. So when I said to her, I said, okay, I understand what you're saying. Because I too could say, okay, you know, well, I should be healed and not sick and never get sick. I've been on this earth for a few years, never been sick, don't take no medication. That's why it kind of threw me, what is this all about? And then God said, see, if you had done what you did all of your life, every time something would come up, I said, nah, that's not real. Mm-mm. By his stripes, I'm healed. But you mess around and let the doctor tell you something, and you received that in your spirit, and therefore you went through that experience. Had you not had done what you've been doing all your life, from a little girl, I used to say, God, you made this body and you're the only one can fix it. But sometimes we are tricked into a thought that would take us on a journey. But God said, regardless of what decision you make, it still doesn't erase the word, my word and the fact that I said this is. And if I say it is, that's it. I'll help you get from all out of the wilderness, back in the woods, over the fence, in the valley. I'll bring you back up to I-95 and get you on a straight road. If you believe, I can do it. Does that make sense to you?
It makes a lot of sense. And God is saying, until you get on my level, you ain't going to see what I see. And in the spirit, he already say that we're healed, so we got to believe him in the spirit, and then we'll see it in the natural. Unlike the world, say, I believe it when I see it. God said, no, 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 we're not like the world. We're peculiar people. We're chosen people. He says, mm-hmm. when I say something it is, you got to say the same language. Like, you can't be talking blessings and curses out the same well, or salt water and fresh water, same well, same thing. He said, mm-hmm. if you believe it, if you believe it, he said, I believe it, I'm God. Like, you know, like, what, you know, saying, well, you know, I ain't got to believe you, I'm God, I can make it happen. But do you believe
that
a woman's child? Yeah, I said it. Hey, it's my word. Who gonna check me? Who gonna undo me? Who gonna unfinish the finish? I did it.
I love it. Who's gonna unfinish the finish? You know, and if we did that, like I was telling her, I said, you know, you look back at over the years, he gave us examples. We're not supposed to be living in the Old Testament. We're supposed to use that as a reference of how people got what they got when they trust God or believe God, and how they got what they got when they disobeyed God. And those were the examples to show you how extreme it could have been, just to show you how easy you have it when you disobey God now because of Jesus. You know, that, it's a big difference, because before, you know, the ground would just open up, swallow up 2,000 or 3,000 people because what? You even just said something against the word of God. Now you got Jesus to buffer you through, to help you out. But she said, well, okay, then, you know, I kind of see that. I said, yeah, you know, God didn't put us here to suffer. We're not here to suffer. We make choices, choose life or death. We don't realize when we have a thought and we entertain that thought too long that it becomes a consent. And that gives the enemy, I got a little hook. I got her thinking about it. Oh, she thinking about it, you know. And the next thing you know, you're on the internet looking up something about it. And then you're talking to your friends about it. And then you're 15 commercials will come on to follow you. You ever notice that? Whatever's going on,
yeah.
It's like all the commercials for that particular thing pops up, one right behind the other. Just whatever can come to reinforce that thought, to get you captivated on the thought rather than the word of God. She said, you know what? That makes sense to me. I said, yeah, because God didn't bring us here to suffer. What kind of good God would do an evil thing? What kind of good God would inflict pain? Good and pain can't work in the same spot. So anyway, that's, you know, that's kind of what was on my mind this morning when I sat down and was talking to the Holy Spirit. And our topic today, Deborah, is mothers and daughters receive the gift. But before we get into that, tell me about your weekend. I mean, your week this past week.
My week this past week, well, nothing spectacular happened that comes to mind. The usual stuff. Nothing spectacular. But I want to say this here. I had ordered my nephew something for the first time. I mean, I usually give it to him in person for his birthday. And he had been calling and texting and, you know, didn't get there, got lost and all of that. And so I felt so bad about it. I called the people and I said, listen, I promised 11-year-old something and it ain't going well for me right now. You know, I need to get my money back to move on, because now I got to try to make up 3 weeks of him and is coming home from school, checking the mailbox, you know, for this deal. And so the people gave my money back and then told me when they finally got there, it was way in Georgia, so I was supposed to be going to Tampa. He got there and he was so excited he forgot to call me, you know. I said, no, you don't forget to call me after you get the gift. When you've been calling me all along for the gift. So God is saying, hey, you've been asking me for something, and when you get it, you forget me. Don't forget the one that gave you the gift.
Right. Woo, that ties into the topic this morning.
Don't be on your knees crying and coming and coming and coming and coming, and when you get the car, the job, the husband, the wife, when the child starts acting right, don't forget me. Just say thank you.
Come on.
That's all I'm asking is thank you. Now, I'm not even asking for the moving words, as you said, when you wanted what you wanted. I'm not even asking for all that. Just say thank you, God.
Amen. Praise God.
That's all I say. Say thank you. And I called him. I called him mom. I said, please tell me that he got it. So when he called me, because I know she had to tell him, I said, Troy, I'm glad you got your game. But don't forget about your auntie. You could have said thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lesson to learn for me, too. You know, asking God for stuff, and when you get it, you know, don't be slow with saying thank you. I try to, every morning when I open my eyes, say thank you, God, first for anything, any check in Texas, any drinking coffee, any, thank you that the eyes open this morning. Thank you for the gift of life, because some people can't open their eyes, won't open their eyes, didn't open their eyes. So let's just start off saying thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for just letting me see the light through the blinds, the traffic on the road.
Mm. I always say, and the tapestry of his artwork, the clouds. You know what I mean?
Thank you. Thank you.
And sometimes you see stuff floating around in the cloud. You see the planes going through, you know, just all kinds of designs that's out there. The trees looking a little different today than they looked yesterday. The palm tree. I didn't realize there was another palm tree there. I thought it was two. It was three. How you missed one and all of a sudden you see it. You know, there's so much to look at.
Thank you.
And God's work. Yeah. Well, you know, my week was interesting. The lesson that I learned this week, Deborah, last week really, was it? I'm trying to think. I get my weeks. I'm trying to get my days. Okay, Thursday was a week. Okay. What I learned in that week was, I need you to just rest. And I struggled with that, Deborah. I have to tell you the truth. Mothers and daughters out there, we think that we just got so much we have to get done. We got our own agenda. We got a timeline. It's got to be in this particular timeline to get this done. What are people going to think when I'm speaking of me now? You know, I got so many projects that's so far behind. But I wasn't allowed to get on the computer. I mean, I could have gotten on. God didn't say don't get on. But he said it in a way, I need you to rest. And rest your eyes. Just rest. Deborah, I'm telling you, you know I want to get on the computer. Even though I wasn't going to be able to do anything. I couldn't think of what else to do. I sat for a while and then I said, Lord. It just seemed like I was just like a fish out of water. Just moving around. And I'm thinking, why is it so hard to just sit and be still for 24 hours a day? And I said to myself, how in the world can people just sit around and do nothing? They're probably, what the Lord showed me, it's not that they're not doing anything. And that was a lesson for me to learn, because you don't know somebody else's journey. You don't know if God told them to be still. You know what I'm saying? It looks like they're not doing anything, but you can do more by doing less. Because it's already done. All the projects that I'm working on has already been finished in the spiritual. Physical moving around means that I'm trying to make it happen in the physical so that someone else can see what God has shown me in the spiritual. Because it's a finished product in the spiritual. And my lesson is that you still got to be able to do what? You got to trust what I tell you. It is done. And didn't you hear those words before, Deborah? It is done.
Mm-hmm.
And it means what? It. It represents all things. It is done. And so with this trust and faith, and I'm just being taught in such a way that in order for me to translate to mothers and daughters in a way that they will hear, receive, and then believe, is that I've got to know it without a shadow of a doubt, if that makes sense to you.
Absolutely.
I got to experience it, that when I say it, it's not a shadow of a doubt, because it'll just be. That reminds me, and then I'm going to go into my topic, my part of the topic. That reminds me of a pastor named Kenneth Hagin. I'm not sure. I'm sure you probably do know Pastor Hagin.
Oh, yeah.
Pastor Hagin, you know, that's where I first got hooked on Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. And God showed me years and years and years ago when that happened that those are the most important words in the entire Bible, just those four. Because if you don't have faith in God, nothing else works. Nothing else is. But Pastor Hagin said, you know, of course, they had done pick his grave out and had almost had the time and the day for his funeral, because he wasn't supposed to live but 24 hours. The pastor care about it, gave him the rites, because he probably wouldn't make it through the night. And he called on God, and God took him to Mark 11:22. And then God took him to, I think it's Isaiah 54 or something like that, where it says, by his stripes you're healed. And he said, he kept saying, well, if I'm healed, if I was healed then, I'm healed now. And God was like, yes, you're healed. He said, so have faith in God. God said, yes. He said, well, then I'm healed. Then he said, well, if you're healed, then why are you laying on the bed? What would you be doing? He said, I'd get up out of this bed. He said, well, get up. And you know, Pastor Hagin, anybody know Pastor Hagin, he tells the same story over and over and over. Never skip a word. Every word is in place. You know when the truth is the truth, because it never changes. And I got hooked on that. But he said for 54 years, he was preaching one at some church, and he said, it's been 54 years, and I've not had not even a headache, because he believed what he said. By his stripes, you're healed. So when I was speaking to the lady this week, I told her that. I said, so, because he got it. They came in there reading his rites and telling him he was going to die before the night was over with. And God told him he was healed, and he believed it and never doubted it. So he was never sick ever again. So what does that tell us? We got to believe what he says. And we will, too, experience the same experience. And that's what I'm fighting for. Stand on the word of God and just let it unfold in my life. So
amen.
Anyway, that, you know, whew, that's my take with Pastor Hagin. All right, then what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and do my part, and then I'll come back and pick you up, Deborah.
Okay.
Thank you very much. This is a good day. Let me see if I can get
amen.
Here. To switch over. Let me see if I can do that. Okay, I got it now. All right, mothers and daughters out there. Thank you. I meant to say Cynthia's not with us today. They got a brand new grandbaby they're going to visit today. So congratulations to the Olivers for the new grandbaby. I think it's a grandson. Yeah, grandson. All right, so here we are, mothers and daughters, talking about accepting the gift. And Deborah and I have done extensive conversations there really leading you into what the Holy Spirit and I had conversations about this morning. And that is, everything is already done. Everything that has been placed on your heart has been placed on your heart that's good, was placed there to let you know that it's yours. It's available for you. Some people call them dreams. Some people call it imagination. Some people say, you know, I in my heart, I can just see me being this or doing this or going here. Well, who do you think put it there? Where did you think it came from? Those were nudges from the Father saying, I created the mother and daughter concept for you, Bessie. I created the mother and daughter community for you. He showed it to me in my heart. It's up to me to accept it. Once I accept it and I start working on it, he'll support it. He'll lead and guide me and direct me. All I say, God, you know, you already told me this is. So if it is, and I believe it is, then it will manifest into reality. So you wonder sometimes, you say to yourself, well, okay, then it should just pop up. No. If it pops up immediately, then you wouldn't appreciate it. The things that we appreciate are the things that we had to travel down a journey with it, not knowing if it would be, if it's not going to be, you know, because even though we know God said it is, we're challenged in a lot of the things that we try to develop and bring into the realm of the earth. It's like having a baby. You don't know what's inside of you. You just see your stomach growing. And people will say to you, well, when a lady's stomach grows like that, usually she's pregnant. So everybody just assume if your stomach is growing, then, you know, you got a baby inside of you. But nobody really knows that until that baby is born. We just assume. The doctors will look at you and say, you know, yeah, before they had all the technology that they use today, you know, they didn't know if it was a boy or girl. And even to this day, they still don't know. They can take some guess and look at maybe the way the baby is turned and things to that nature and make an educated guess, but that doesn't mean that they're right. I have a cousin and his wife. They prepared for a girl because they kept saying they had two ultrasounds just because they wanted a girl. They had three boys. They wanted that girl. I mean, two boys. They wanted that girl. And everybody was excited because there was no girls in their family. Everybody was buying little, you know, room was painted pink and I think lavender, and everybody's buying dresses and little things for little girls and just, oh my God. And then he turned out to be a little boy. His name is Michael. He's a grown man now, but he turned out to be a little boy. And everybody was like, what? So they can miss it. Only God knows. But then again, we've seen a woman's stomach grow out and look like she's pregnant. Have you ever seen, say, oh, when is the baby due? And they say, but I'm not pregnant. Now, that's the most awkward moment to be in. That's why I don't say nothing to anybody about, are you pregnant? Because I've seen that happen too. And that can be so embarrassing for you and for the person by simply saying, you know, oh, when is the baby due? And the person says, I'm not pregnant. Because it looked like. But see, that's where faith come in at. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. What did God say? What did God promise you? See, God's words, his words are his promises. He said, by his stripes you are healed. That's the promise. That's the gift. That's why he said, receive. If you receive the gift, then you will tell him, thank you. Thank you, Father. I receive the gift of healing. You got to receive it. Now, see, it's so amazing that we struggle with receiving a gift from God, but we can receive the gift of salvation. It's still a gift. There's no difference. There's no difference in receiving the gift of healing, receiving the gift of prosperity, receiving the gift of life, receiving the gift of breathing, receiving the gift of seeing and hearing, receiving the gift of love, peace, happiness, content. There's no difference than receiving the gift of salvation. Because once you receive the gift of salvation, it comes as a total package. There's no separation. It's like one of these, let's just say, I can't even think of the name of it right now, but let's just use a fruit bowl. You go and you want to send somebody a gift and you want fruits in it. And you says, okay, I want, I'll say the board. They sent me a fruit basket not too long ago, I think for my birthday. And it had chocolate in there and it had nuts in there. It had fruits of all kinds and it had cheese in there. And, you know, just a mixture of different little gifts. So when the fruit basket came, even though it was labeled as a fruit basket, it came with additional things in it. It didn't say fruit, cheese, candy, nut basket. It said fruit basket because the majority of it was fruit, but it had all the other additives with it. So when I accept the gift and open it up, I accept the whole thing. I accept the chocolate. I accept the cheese. I accept the nuts and all the little things that was in it. I accept the total package. But the main thing was the fruit. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you accept the fruits of the Spirit. You accept the whole package. Now, how are you going to just take the cheese out? Now, I don't want that. I'm going to put that over here. And the nuts, and I'm going to put it over here, and I'm just going to eat the fruit and all this other stuff. I'm just going to lay it out on the counter here. You accepted the whole thing. Now, it's up to you if you decide you want some chocolate one day, and you come and say, you know, I got a taste for some chocolate. I really want some chocolate. Oh, man, I don't have to go to the store. That's right. There was some chocolate that came in that fruit basket. You go to the cabinet and you look in there and you pull out that chocolate and you eat it, because then all of a sudden it came to your mind that you had already received the gift of chocolate. And that's where we make our mistakes. We don't receive the total gift that God gives us. We want to separate it when he gave it to us as one package. When you receive Jesus Christ, you receive salvation. You receive forgiveness of your sin. You receive prosperity. You receive health. By his stripes, you're healed. You receive the opportunity to speak to the Almighty God, the Most High, through Jesus Christ. You receive the faith of Jesus to add to your faith, to believe, because you first got to believe in what Jesus told you, because God speaks to you through Jesus, his Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, I'm asking him to send a comforter. What does that mean? He sends somebody, the Holy Spirit. That's a part of the gift. If you receive it, there's a lot of people that are Christians and they says they have not gotten the Holy Spirit. Oh, you have it. You just haven't received him in his proper place. You haven't received him to live in your life and to lead and guide you and to talk to you and to comfort you and to tell you things that you don't know. He said the Holy Spirit will remind you of what I said. You don't have to worry about it if you have the Bible with you. The Holy Spirit knows the Bible. He'll tell you what you need to know when you need to know it. That's why when I get up on Saturday mornings, I don't have to get up and run around and figure out what I'm going to say. The only thing I say is, Holy Spirit, I release myself to you. And you speak. So as I speak to you on Saturday mornings, I didn't plan this. It's coming out just the way he wants me to say it. Because if you release yourself to the Holy Spirit, he can do the work. He's the one that will speak the words. He's the one that will draw the people close to you. He's the one that will touch their hearts so that they could hear and they can believe. Jesus said what? The Father draw them to me. So you don't have to worry about who's your flock and who's going to hear you and the people that don't believe in you or the people that talk about you or the people that don't understand you. That's okay. It's okay because they're not your flock. They don't belong to you. But the ones that belong to you, they hear you. They receive from you. And all of us have a flock. We have a group of people that God has placed in our life, either for just a passing at the grocery store or for a long journey of years in your life. And there's some people that they go a journey and then it's time for them to get off. They've traveled as far as they can go with you. It's okay. Let them go because they have no more input. They've played their part. Their role is over. Your journey goes on. Their journey goes on. And the why? They split. They go to their way. You go your way because what? You got other people to pick up on your journey. They got other people to pick up on their journey. Doesn't mean that it's evil. But there are a group of people that the Holy Spirit is going to speak through you to reach. All he wants you to do is just to receive him. And you say, Holy Spirit, I receive you and I want you to come into my life and lead and guide me. Oh, wow, he's ready. You better be ready because you're on a journey. You just relax and let him lead you. You're on a journey. Oh, yeah, you might have trials and tribulations, but one thing about it, you ask the Holy Spirit, and he's going to tell you, okay, don't do this. Stay home. Don't leave now. Wait a minute. Go back and get that thing you left. You forgot it. You need to take that to work. You know, if you relax, he'll have those kind of conversations with you. He'll tell you when something's wrong with your children, your mother, your daughter. You're feeling in your belly, and he'll speak to you. Call your daughter. Go back. Wait a minute. Or hold you up just a second to keep you from having an accident. That's the kind of friend that you have with the Holy Spirit. That's a gift. That's the gift of life. That's the gift of prosperity. That's the gift of the Spirit. It's just everything in that package. Don't dissect the package. Receive the total package. Can you imagine if we received the total package, what our life would be like? I often imagine it like Pastor Hagin. 54 years, not even a headache. Because what? And I'm sure he had more years than that because he lived beyond that particular message. Only because he knew they were going to bury him. But then God gave him the word, and he believed it. And he said, I never doubted him, and I've never been sick. And if you think you've gone for years in your life and had no problems, no health problems, no back, no knee, no headache, no diseases, for years, and then all of a sudden you run up into a rough patch. Think about it. Ask yourself, what happened? What happened? Then I got tested in that time period. So that you could really realize what you had and you didn't miss it until you ran into the patch of briar bushes and got stuck and stung and whatever. And then you say, oh, my God. You start talking to God from a whole different level then. You start seeing God through new eyes, new feelings. And you start accepting gifts. You start going back to the cabinet and pulling out those nuts and pulling out the candy and pulling out the crackers and the cheese and, you know, all the things. Oh, my God, I had it here all along. I'm asking you for something that you already gave me. It came in the package. I had it. Let me gather this back up, because when you go before God, God said, I told you, I gave it to you. When you received Jesus, I gave it to you. If you notice, whenever someone came to Jesus and called upon him, the first thing he would ask them, do you believe? Because he can't do no work if the person don't believe it. So it's the same with any relationship, mother and daughter, that you have. Do you believe in your daughter? Do you believe in your mother? If you don't believe in your mother and daughter, it's going to be hard for you to have a loving relationship. Because if you don't believe in the person, that means what? You don't trust the person. You can't separate belief from trust. I trust them, but I just don't believe them. Now, how silly does that sound? Or I believe them, but I just don't trust them. No sense. The two are twins, identical twins. You see one, you see the other. They can be in the same place at the same time. But you can't have one without the other. Mother's like, I can't trust that girl no further than I can throw her. How many times have I heard that? As a Christian clinical psychologist and talking to mothers and daughters, I have heard mothers say that so many times. I cannot trust that girl no further than I can throw her. Meaning that, you know, I can't throw her, so, you know, I don't trust her at all. And I'm thinking, why would a mother say that? Why would you say that when that's your daughter? If you got trust issues with your daughter, then it calls for what? It calls for a conversation. It calls for you to sit down and talk to her and say, you know what? I'm having some issues. These things are things that are crossing my mind. As your mother, it's disturbing my spirit, and we need to talk about it because I just need to get clarity. Because everything that you're thinking is not always true. Perception can lead you down a path of untruth. But if you walk around and not talk about it, then you're going to just keep adding to that picture. You're going to keep painting another piece and another piece and another piece, and then you're going to have a monster that you can't even unravel and cannot erase because it's paint with oil, and you cannot erase it without having an honest conversation and actually pulling out the gift of forgiveness. See, forgiveness is a gift. You have to receive forgiveness in order to give forgiveness. You can't give what you don't have. I come to you and say, Deborah, can you give me $10,000? You know, not saying that Deborah don't have $10,000. I'm using this as an example. Deborah, can you give me $10,000 for a year, and then I'll give it back to you, da, da, da. And Deborah says, well, Dr. B, if I had $10,000 today, I would give it to you, but, you know, I don't have it, or I don't want to give it to you because I don't trust that you're going to give it back to me. You see, she has to trust me to know I can give this to Dr. B. And I believe what she says. She says she's going to give it back to me 1 year from this day. Then I know 1 year from this day, if not sooner, Dr. B is going to give this $10,000 back to me. So therefore, I write her the check because I believe in her and I trust her. And mothers and daughters, if you don't have the trust and belief in your daughter, then how can you have trust and belief in God, a spirit, someone you haven't seen, someone you haven't had a verbal communication with, but yet you say, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. I have eternal life. How do you know that?
How do you know that? When you have a human that God sent through you to nurture on this earth and you don't communicate with them, you don't trust them no further than you can throw them, or you don't talk to them and have an honest conversation, loving conversation, but yet you can say, I go to the Father, I go to Jesus. Do you think you really are having a conversation with Jesus? Even he said, the Father said, how can you love me when you don't even love your brother, your sister, your mother, your daughter, your son, whom you see? It's hypocritical. You're going to love the unknown, but can't love the one that you see. You're going to talk to the unknown and have an honest conversation, but you can't have an honest conversation with the person that you see. Think about that. You're being a hypocrite. You're not really having an honest conversation with God, because God knows your heart. He knows that you got hate in there. He knows that you dislike somebody. You don't have to be in somebody's face 24 hours a day. You don't even have to talk to them. But you better believe that you pray for them. You better believe that you give thanks for them. You better believe that you say, I wish them the very best, Lord. Bless them today, Lord, in a mighty way. I give you thanks, God, for this person. I'm grateful this person came into my life. What a lesson I learned. Thank you for using them to teach me. You better be grateful. Then God will hear you. Because if you're grateful to someone else, you do good by little, then you'll do good by great. He knows in your heart how you feel about someone. And if you don't love my child, how are you going to love me? And I'm going to close with this. I've seen people speak to the daughter and mad with the mother. Not talking to the mother now, but a talk to the daughter. See, I mean, come on. How are you going to do that? You're not talking to your daughter or your mother, but you're talking to God. Think about that. So when you go back to receive the total package, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you, you receive faith, grace, mercy, wisdom, understanding. You receive favor, prosperity. You receive all the fruits of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, happiness, kindness, goodness, self-control, forgiveness, gentleness. It goes on and on, and everything that's good, that nurtures and tugs at your heart, God is telling you, you can have that if you want it, if you only believe. Go back and get Deborah. All right, Deborah. You there?
Yes, I'm trying to unmute. I'm here. I was always muted, even though you muted, just in case. I tell you, boy, the gift God gives parents, he's saying, I thought enough of you to let you be replenishing the earth. Because if I just left one set, one generation, there would be nobody to carry your name, to carry your legacy, to carry your spirituality, to carry the things that you believe in, to carry the things that you work hard for. If it was just over with the parents, it would be a boring world. It would be nothing to really strive for. Because a lot of parents say, well, I'm saving this for my kids. When I go on to glory, when I pass on, I want to leave something behind, something they can remember me by. So God says in his wise mind, he says, I'm going to allow you to get married, be fruitful, multiply. I'm going to give you some gifts to carry your name, some gifts to praise me, some gifts. Because some people got more than one gift. Some people got 10, 12 kids. I know a family when I was young, had 22, and I was saying, Jesus, before I knew my God, I'm like, well, Lord, you know, but God says, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. And he said, I'm not giving you these gifts so you can misuse it. Who misuses a gift that God gave you? Who misuses a blessing? God is saying these kids are blessings, are gifts that allowed you to tarry, however long it took you to tarry with your husband or with your significant other. We know we ain't gonna even go there, but you had a gift. A gift came out of intercourse. And he says, I'm holding you responsible for the gift I gave you. So parents, don't provoke your kids to evil. And kids, honor your mother and your father. Your days may be long. God is saying, I'm giving you the secret to stay, to hang around a while you can watch me work, while you can see me continue to bless you. And if you need anything, ask me, but you got to believe that I'm able. He said, don't come to me like the ocean, the waves going up and down, in and out. They say, oh, it's good for surfing today. It ain't good for surfing. It's good for sea and fishing. He said, you in and out. You tossing to and from like the wave. He said, you got to believe that I'm able to do that thing, to fix that daughter's attitude. Because I know sometimes it can be unbearable. And kids, I know sometimes parents can be unbearable. Come on, somebody. I ain't just going to talk about the kids being unbearable. I see some unbearable grown folks. God is saying, if you come to me and you lay that person on the altar and you tell me, Lord, I love my mom, but my mama don't understand me. She don't let me talk. She would thank for me and tell me every move to make. I'm 17. I know my mama knows some stuff, Lord, but I just want to find my own way. I don't want to play sports. I want to be in the band. Or I want to go to nursing school. I don't want to be a lawyer. I just want to be able to have my, and God, I'll give my mama you. I know she don't mean no harm. But, Lord, I can't change her. But you can. And you give God your mama back in the spirit. And you believe that whatever, according to his will. Now, we ain't going to be praying no crazy stuff to God about fixing my mama and my mama, no, God said, according to his word, that her attitude would be Christ-like, that she would be long-suffering with you, that she would be gentle with you. The prayers we should be having, because usually it's a little rough stuff going on where other people feel offended because you're talking to me at volume 10 when you should be talking to me at volume 3, that your voice is escalating and causing me emotional dysfunctional. And God is saying, if the daughter volume at 10, it'll give you right to knock aside the head. Give the daughter back to me. Put her on the altar. Lord, this child, this gift you gave me, God, it's not functioning like you want it to function. No, not like God says, the razor. And I always say, use this analogy because I think it's just bringing home. If you buy something and they give you instructions in the box and the thing that you try to put together ain't working, probably a chance for you to go back and read the manual. God is saying, if you read my basic instruction before leaving earth, you're going to know how to love one another. You're going to know how to be, like you say, the fruit of the spirit, being meek and humble and forgiving, long-suffering. Long-suffering is one of the longest fruits of the spirit. It says just what it is, long-suffering. Well, I've been suffering alone. This child, she's 25, ain't moved out yet. He ain't moved out yet. I'm tired of going through what my own life. Long suffering, God says. He said, how many times that I had to put up with you not doing what I say? How long you're 60 and you're still not doing it the way that I've been instructing you in your spirit to do it? So we all got something that we can work on. If God is God, he's telling the truth. We all are like filthy rags down here. How can I say something to you with the big boulder in my eye? And I want to talk about your speck. A speck is just a thing, a little thing, but a boulder is a big piece of wood. He said, clear your boulder out so you may see clearly how to deal with her speck. So God said, if we work on us, And this is where I'm at, because I tell you, into me, see, I know when I'm being mean. I know when I miss the mark. I know anybody got to come tell me. We know when we done been ugly. We know when we done been some kind of way with somebody. I'm saying, Lord, help me, change me. And once I've changed, maybe the world will change because I've changed. Not that I try to go change the world or the house I'm in or the job I'm on or the place I go. Let me work with me. So show me, God, put the flashlight on me with your Holy Spirit so I may see where I am missing the mark so I may effectively raise the gift that you gave me. Because right now I'm trying to raise it on my own manual. Right now I'm trying to do it like I want to do it, like mama did it and grandma did it. And wait, he says, no, I need you to be humble. Not humble with the people on the job. Be humble, start in your household. That's the place of ministry right there. Start working right with the ones that rub you the wrong way, the ones that you gave birth to, the ones that you say I do to, the ones that you live in the house under the same roof. God says those are your household be your worst enemy because they know how to rub you the wrong way. That's what the Bible says. Those of your household will be your worst enemy. Because y'all rubbing each other, you wake up in the morning with your hair all over the place and you're mad because they in your space, they in the kitchen, you can't get there, you can't get on the phone, you can't get in the bathroom, you can't do nothing, they got the TV too loud, so everybody's getting on everybody's nerves because y'all right in there under the same roof. But when they stay next door and they stay down the street, you don't have that much friction because they ain't right there to rub you. So God is saying, bring the gift back to the altar, surrender your will for my will. You want to see that it function right? Give it back to me. Go buy my manual. Just work on you. Enter me, see. Work on what it is because we all got something or quite a few things like me. I'll be the first one to say there's more than one thing for me to work on. And he shows me every day. You missed the mark, Deborah. Go back and say you're sorry because you said what you said, but you said it. Your tone was too high. Your volume was too high. Bring it down a couple notches. And so that be my prayer, Lord, help me hold my mule, hold my peace. Help me not say it mean, say what I mean what I say. I just don't get to say it mean. Say what I mean what I say. I just don't get to say it mean because whether we mothers or kids, we all got feelings. And I want to treat people like I want to be treated. I want to plant seeds that I want the fruit to go. I don't want to plant apples and be looking for oranges. I want to plant kindness and meekness and humbleness and forgiveness. So I would reap those things. So God is saying, you want to deal with that person in the spirit of love. Be gentle. Be forgiving. Even though you're the mama. Just know that I'm going to hold you accountable for the gifts. Amen.
Thanks, God. Lord have mercy. That's good. That's good. That was good for the young people. I hope that they hear that too, Deborah, because they need to know they can take their mother and take them and father to God too, you know, and God hear. He will hear. Wow, that was a fast show today, Deborah.
Wow, that's really on the clock. Like, you got to bring it in. I got to bring it in. Like Pastor Ron Carpenter just say, he said, I'm trying to land this plane. I'm trying to land this plane. Yeah, he'd be all over.
I know. It's just like, I almost need a two. All right, Deborah, hold on. I'll be right back.
All right.
Let's see if I can get where we need to go. Hold on one second.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, that's our show. Mothers and daughters, we thank you for joining us today. Pass the message on. Receive the gift. Thank you, Deborah. It's a great show. And I know that you're going to be blessed. Thank you. And you have a great week, Deb. Love you.
Everybody love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.